Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Willie Morales. And on today's show, I want to talk about different ways to make money in real estate. Now, there's tons of niches out there that you might like or I like. Just don't get that shiny object syndrome. That's always tough to get into or tough to deal with, especially when you get into real estate, because you might find the glamour of fixing and flipping, wholesaling, buy and hold to your liking and exciting. But you know what? If you could focus on one thing at a time, and before you know it, you become a master of it, then you move to the next level. So let's get the show started. One of the most popular ways to get into real estate, and you see these on HGTV, it's fixing and flipping houses. It's definitely a short-term investment strategy because, you know, if you buy the house in January, you hope to sell it by February. Again, it all depends on the project. It depends how much you're looking to take on in construction. It depends on your contractor, if he's available during the time you need him. So fixing and flipping is not as easy as it looks. HGTV shows you a house they buy in 3 weeks, then they buy it in January 1st, and then January 22nd, it's ready to be sold for, you know, tons of money, and the profit, potential profit they see is $60,000 or $70,000. Again, it's not as glamorous. You got to know a budget. You got to know the contractor. You got to know the neighborhood. You got to make sure that the property you buy is going to sell for what the average house is going in that neighborhood. So solds in that neighborhood is very important. You're going to need a realtor to help you out with that one. So fixing and flipping, definitely an exciting way to get in. You're helping out, like I said, a house or a neighborhood become glamorous. And hey, it brings property values up. Next is wholesaling. Probably the most popular niche probably out there that all the gurus say you should get into. Get into wholesaling. What is wholesaling? Basically, you're finding a motivated seller. They're looking to sell their house for $50,000. You talk them down to $30,000, and then you flip it for $40,000. Make $10,000 per property. That's what the conventional wisdom is from these gurus, that you shouldn't sell, make anything less than $10,000. And that's not easy to get into wholesaling because, one, you got to find a buyer's list, or you got to get a buyer's list. Second, you got to look for motivated sellers. Third, you got to use direct mail. Unless you do driving for dollars, where you go to neighborhoods and find boarded up properties, or if you live in New York City, LA, or San Francisco, where the properties here look like phone numbers, you're going to have to invest probably outside of your normal area. Where if you're going to go to St. Louis or Kansas City and look for houses that are selling for $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, you know what? Then that might be a way to go. But it's going to cost you. You got to pay for direct mail. You got to send out postcards, letters. Just go to YouTube and find and just look how to send out direct mail to motivated sellers. Or just find how to use direct mail. Believe me, you're going to have hundreds of videos come out. So you got fix and flip and wholesaling. Next on the list, which is pretty much, I wouldn't say normal to get into, I don't know too many of these people, is becoming a home inspector. You know, you make your own schedule or you work with realtors. You go to inspect the home. You have to crawl in the basement, make sure the foundation is work.
I'm like a lost word for words, but just making sure that the foundation is solid. Look at those cracks on the wall. Look at the ceiling. Make sure there's no water damage. So, I mean, a home inspector has a lot. It's a lot of hard work, but you know what? You could save homeowners a lot of money by what you do. So check out the becoming a home inspector. So a lot of schools have that program to for you to get into, and it's licensed. You could build a reputation by having all types of clients in terms of realtors. They'll call you and say, hey, can you inspect this house on Broad Street or whatever? So that's a pretty good niche to get into, is becoming a home inspector. Another way to get into real estate is investing in non-performing notes. What's a non-performing notes? Basically, just what it says, it's non-performing. You're a bank. You just lend out money to a couple. Unfortunately, maybe something bad happened. They both lost their jobs. So now the rent, the mortgage is not being paid. So that's non-performing note. Usually investors come in and go to these certain banks that are selling these notes. They could buy a package of 5, 10, 15. Again, it depends on the bank. It depends on what you can afford. Note buying, you become the bank. You're the one that's making the rules now. You're the one that's either screening the tenants or you have someone else screen them for you. But the key is you become the bank. You get the payment. The new homeowner is responsible. All the old homeowner is responsible for taxes, insurance, making sure the property's up and running. Because you know what? That's the new homeowner's or the old homeowner's responsibility. You're the bank. Chase or Bank of America, if they have a performing note, they're not going to go and fix someone's plumbing. That's not their job. Their job is to lend the money. So invest in non-performing notes. Next, I have that I find interesting, becoming a real estate appraiser. You know, it's basically what you do is you're comparing home for home. What's sold down on Main Street might not be selling on Broad Street. You know, so pretty much you're looking at what the value of the property is. There are a lot of ways to get in. You know, there's a lot of ways for you. Let me put it this way. You could definitely get a lot of jobs because appraisers are in demand, especially if you're getting, if the homeowner is getting bank financing. Or even an investor might call you and say, hey, can you appraise this house? This way I know what it might sell for. So an appraiser is pretty good. There's schools all over. You have to go through a process to become licensed. So, you know, think about it. Becoming an appraiser, I think it's a pretty good job, you know. Check out, I think if you're in New York City, I think it's called NYREI.com. I think it's New York Real Estate Institute. They have classes to become an inspector. So think about that. So another niche that I like, and this deals with the owner financing niche that I'm in right now. But like I said, I'll definitely talk about that in another show, is buying REO properties. These are bank-owned properties, right, that have, you know, they went through the foreclosure process. Unfortunately, they couldn't sell the home at an auction. So it's pretty decent niche. Obviously, the lender's going to make sure that there's no title issues or any liens. You know, if tenants are evicted, they'll take care of that. You could come in and buy a property for sometimes pennies on the dollar. One of the websites you guys should look at is HUD.gov, or just go to HUD, H-U-D, homestore.com. And it has foreclosure listed for sale, and it have tons of information. You know, if you're looking for a house to live in and flip, you know what? This is one of your best bets to look at. So it's HUDHomestore.com. The next one, buy and hold. You want to buy property. You want to be a landlord. There's nothing wrong with that. Rental properties definitely could make a great investment. If you got the right property, you know, you can make money every month after paying taxes, insurance, your mortgage payments, especially if you're going through a bank. Any type of fees that are included in the home buying process, like HOA fees. But you got to put money on the side for maintenance and vacancies, so that could eat into your cash flow. Think of it as it's a business within a business, because not only are you paying, you know, you got to make sure the tenant's paying you and then you pay the bank. But, you know, the end game is you got to make sure you have money on the side for repairs, taxes, and insurance. You know, you could pass it on to your tenants, but you got to make sure that they can afford it. So buying and holding is not a bad niche to get into. One of my least favorite for now is property management. And why I say that, because I don't care if the property is near me. I don't care if it's across the street from my home. I have no interest in being a property manager. I think it could be a thankless job, but also could be a lucrative job, especially if you keep it all in-house. In other words, if you have a company and your goal is to buy and fix and flip a wholesale, well, you could have a division of buying, a division of selling, and a division of property management all within your firm. And a property management does repair work. Obviously, they need your permission to make sure that they could spend but so much of your money. They usually do the screening of the tenants. They answer the phone calls. And they usually get anywhere from 8 to 10% of the rents. So in other words, if you charge $1,000, they might get $80 to $100 worth of they'll get that piece of the money right there from your cash flow. It is tough if you don't know the property manager or if you don't get word of mouth. You know, I always heard horror stories that how they go, the property management team goes, so goes your property. Because if you got a good property manager that answers everything on time and they're running the property clean and efficient, believe me, the tenants are going to be happy to pay to live in your home. If they're not, then you're in trouble, because you know what? If the property manager is not doing their job, you're losing a whole lot of money, not only with taxes, maintenance. Oh, my God. The list goes on and on. But please, just because I might badmouth the property manager doesn't mean that all property managers are like that. You, unfortunately, in every niche that you deal with, you're going to have those a-holes that you're going to have to deal with. So that's another way to get in, which is property management. And last but not least, which is unconventional, but I have this in my portfolio, is investing in real estate stocks. Real estate stocks, which is called REITs, Real Estate Investment Trust, usually these are big companies that they own, manage, or represent, usually large portfolios of companies. In other words, let's say you could form your own REIT. You could have, you know, maybe 10 units or 10 buildings, and you put them all under one firm. And these firms usually manage healthcare, storage units, mortgage notes. Look into REIT.com, and it'll pretty much give you the scenario of what a REIT is. Again, it's a real estate stock. And they also, they don't fluctuate as crazy as regular stocks in the United States, you know? So pretty much they could be steady. Again, you know, everything always matters on the economy, and if people are paying their dues, you know, I'm talking about their rents and their mortgage. So, you know, it's all economy based, but that's not a bad way to get into real estate investment trusts. Would have probably as low as $50 to $100, you could buy a real estate stock. And you know what? That's just the beginning. If you don't have money to buy properties or have a down payment to, you know, if you go into a conventional way, buying a property through a bank, and you don't have that 20%, hey, you know what? Start off with a REIT. Nothing wrong with it. You're building a portfolio. Sure, you can't touch it or show it to your friends, but do you really want to show the property that you bought to your friends? I think you should keep that on the down low. You know, this is your business. You don't need to show it off. All you need to do is make sure you make the money, you pay your taxes, your insurance, whatever you got to do to keep that business maintained and up and running. That's your business. You don't need, with real estate stocks, it could be perfect, because what you're going to do? Just go to the computer, go to E-Trade and say, hey guys, look, this is the stock I have. No, you don't need to do that. This is your niche. So if your niche is in real estate stocks, then go for it. Like I said, in my portfolio, I have real estate stocks. I have a couple of REITs. So,
you know, I'm happy with it. You know,
I'm in real estate. I might not have any physical property at the moment,
but you know what? Or you might not have it, but a real estate stock is okay.
So guys, that's pretty much it for the investment opportunities or businesses you can start.
Nothing wrong with it. You pick your niche.
Please focus on it. It's key that you stay on track with that, whether it's wholesaling. Then do wholesaling until you become a master of it, and it's second nature. You know the ins and outs. You know the numbers. You know the neighborhoods. Then from there, you might go to fix and flip. You know, you're always going to evolve into something a little bit better.
So anyway, guys, that's pretty much it for making money in real estate, picking your niche. Thank you for listening to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate. And, you know, as I end the show, guys, keep the momentum going. If you have a dream, don't let it sit idle. Go for it. If there's a business you want to start, then do it on the side. Do it part-time. You know, there's plenty of books there to how to start a business. You could Google, by getting into business for less than $5,000. There's tons of articles like that on entrepreneur.com, Inc. magazine. So guys, keep it up, man. Don't let anyone deter you from your dream. It's your dream, nobody else's. Anyway, guys, that's it for Peer-to-Peer Real Estate. I'll definitely talk to you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks. Bye.